At least 10,000 people near the Fukushima plant in an area the government says is safe have decided to flee, concerned that the government isn't giving them the full story. And the government may not know the story. Yesterday, the prime minister blew up at Tokyo Electric workers in front of journalists, saying, "What the hell is going on?" Today, Prime Minister Naoto Kan went on TV to apologize for his people's suffering. Here's an excerpt through an interpreter.
"We don't have any room to be pessimistic or to be disencouraged. We cannot do so. We are going to create Japan once again from scratch. That is the strong resolve that we all must share. All of the Japanese people will face this challenge together."
But more than 450,000 are in shelters. And The Guardian is reporting that Japan's military found 128 elderly people abandoned at a hospital just 6 miles from the Fukushima plant. Most were comatose. 14 later died. So where do you start rebuilding? Yossi Sheffy is professor of engineering and director of the Center for Transportation and Logistics at MIT. Yossi, you've studied the Indonesian tsunami, the Haiti earthquake. Put Japan in context.
One of the biggest differences here is the fact that it hit a developed country. Those people who live in camps and tents used to live in a first world country. The nuclear problem also hampers a lot of the rescue efforts, a lot of the assessment efforts, finding out what's going on. So one, really, I understand we're trying here to block it and say, okay, what happens after if this is somehow contained? But this is like asking Mrs. Lincoln, you know, what about the concert, right?
But how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln, right?
How was the play?
It's ignoring the disaster, right? It's ignoring the disaster.
It's ignoring an ongoing, very big thing. So this is puts it in a different order of magnitude than any other disaster that we have witnessed. Let's go about some stages of what will happen, what is happening, and what will happen. The Japanese government has moved a lot of people into camps. We have to supply the camps now, because the number of death and injury is going down after the rescue. But if the camps are not attended for, the number will go up. All these people who need continuous heart medicine, continuous blood pressure medicine. Japan is a relatively old population. First of all, you try to send as many people to live elsewhere with relatives, with friends. Then you start putting temporary shelters there and move people who want to move to the same area. In Katrina, we did it with trailers. They can do it with trailers, with sea containers, a lot of other stuff that can be converted into temporary housing. Then the rebuilding starts. Some places may not rebuild at all. They may decide that the danger is too high. Clearly, places close to the nuclear plant are not going to be rebuilt.
What do you need? We spoke with a former Clinton administration FEMA official. They say you need to have five things in place in order to get people to come live in an area. Police, hospitals with doctors,
schools.
You have to have schools, energy, roads. This seems like an awful lot to, I mean, it seems like it's all gone.
It's actually not. Many of these institutions are in the buildings that survive because they are large buildings. And many of these institutions survive to some extent, at least the structures survive.
But let me ask you something. In one of the towns, for instance, we saw a five-story hospital. All of the patients the first four floors were gone, washed out of the hospital and killed. Are people going to want to use that building?
If people want to come back to the place in general, they're going to use this building. The question is, are people going to want to rebuild? To begin with, if people want to move back, you know, the police station can be in a trailer. It doesn't have to be in a building. We have field hospitals in war zones all over the place. Yeah. One of the issues that is still unfolding is the energy issue. You need energy. You need to bring electrical power into all these villages, and we don't know what's going on with the power in Japan. Right now, the estimates are that about 6 to 7% of the nuclear power in Japan is not working, and there are several other regular plants that are offline. On the other hand, what is amazing is that unlike many other countries, the Japanese population is totally in sync with the government requests. So we saw that instead of brownouts, people conserved. And they understand that you have to rebuild industry. You have to rebuild the supply chain. People understand it, and they are conserving energy that can go to industrial uses. They can go to the cleaning effort.
We're hearing news reports about people in the camps doing recycling. And I just mentioned that because it underscores what you're saying, that there seems to be this understanding that we have to still be a community. We still have to do the things that we normally do. You're saying
yes. That keep the community together, things that are good for Japan.
That's MIT Professor of Engineering Yossi Sheffi. Here's another example of that spirit. Students at, I think it's Karakua, have been ferrying buckets of water from their school swimming pool to people's homes so that they can have the dignity of a toilet flush. And Yossi, you've outlined some of the basic initial steps for rebuilding, but how long do you think it will be before Japan even approaches what it was before this disaster?
This is a difficult question because right now we're in the middle of the nuclear disaster still unfolding. And this will overwhelm a lot of our estimates. The only thing on a small scale compared to is Katrina, when a first world country is hit. And last time I was here, I think we talked about Katrina.
Yeah.
And if you remember, I was, how shall I say, totally underwhelmed by the response of the several levels of the U.S. government. The Japanese government is responding much better to a much larger disaster. There are 100,000 troops already on the mission of rescue recovery operations.
Well, we can compare it too to Kobe, the Kobe earthquake in 95. More than 5,500 people killed, 28,000 injured,
yes.
$102 billion in damage. Guinness lists it as the costliest natural disaster to hit any one country.
Yes.
But they had over a million volunteers, even crime syndicates, helped distribute food and supplies.
Yes, it is described in detail in my book about, you know, disruptions in the supply chain. The Japanese, however, the government response was not that great. They had several mistakes and they learned from.
They didn't ask for help, for one thing, for outside help.
They didn't ask for outside help and they learned not to do it again. There have been also other things. For example, they put a lot of field hospitals to help all the wounded. There were 80,000 people wounded in this, in addition to the 6,000 people died. So they put field hospitals in the area, and they stayed there too long and actually bankrupted all the local hospital who couldn't compete with free care. So there are lots of things that they learned from this. I mean, all for good reasons, but they learned from this.
What else, as you look at Kobe, can we kind of speculate about what will happen now?
The issue is it's a much larger scale. Kobe, however, is a large city. The only good news, and I hate to call it good or less bad news, is that it hit in an area that's not an industrial area. And Kobe is a big port and big industrial area. Lots of industry was hurt in Kobe, and it took quite a bit of time to get back up. If they can get, they always have to put this proviso, if the Japanese can contain the unfolding nuclear disaster, I'm optimistic by nature. I think this can be an event that can get Japan out of its economic funk. The Japanese will now go into a huge rebuilding effort, a huge getting together effort that will dwarf what's happened in Kobe. We already see it. I'm talking, you know, when you get to my age, you have dozens of students in Japan who are in companies in very high positions. We see companies, many companies, putting together large number of teams, companies who were not hurt, who totally have big worldwide industries, big worldwide companies who were not damaged at all, are putting together teams to help their customers and suppliers, to work with them and see how they can help. So this Japanese move is already starting. Let me give you some other case that can exemplify the Japanese way of doing things. There was I don't remember the year, 2004, I think. There was a fire in an ASIN plant. ASIN makes parts that go into the brake of every Japanese car.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small, it's called P-valve. It goes into the brake of every Japanese car. The fire started on a Saturday morning. Took 12 hours for all Toyota plant all around Japan to come to a grinding halt. It took 12 hours because trucks were still on the way. Every plane has just in time, 15 minutes worth of inventory. Took 12 hours, all of Toyota plants came to a grinding halt. It took only days, actually the same weekend, engineers from 145 companies were working with Toyota and ASIN. That's the companies who are making this part. And Toyota and ASIN were teaching them how to make this part. It became a race among the Japanese companies who can help Toyota first. In fact, Brother, company that never supplied to the automotive business, that makes fax machines and printers, on the Wednesday of this of the following week started making about 60 or 70 P-valves a day. It's not much. Toyota needs 85,000 a day. But Denso, the big Japanese automotive supplier, outsourced a lot of its own production and started making P-valves. Toyota started making P-valves. On Saturday, a week after this fire struck, the first Toyota plant opened. Less than a week later, all Toyota plants were working around the clock.
Yeah.
It took 6 months to Aisin to rebuild the plant. But all these companies were helping. What is amazing, there was no contract written. All the companies simply geared up to help immediately. They all believed that Toyota will do okay by them. And by the way, Toyota did. They pay 1.5% of the whole quarter supply that every company sold to Toyota as an award. Many of these companies shared it with their suppliers because the whole supply chain had to get into action. But to me, it exemplifies the spirit. Japanese, of course, very nationalistic, and the spirit of helping companies to rebuild and helping rebuild in general.
And what you think we're going to see in the near future?
We are already seeing this. We're seeing this among households. We are seeing it among companies. We are already seeing the Japanese come together in a way. It is unprecedented because the disaster is unprecedented. Yeah. But we are already seeing this.
Yossi Sheffi, professor of engineering and director of the Center for Transportation and Logistics at MIT, author of The Resilient Enterprise, Overcoming Vulnerability for a Competitive Advantage. Yossi, thanks as always.
Thank you very much, Robin.